This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Denise Burke. She's the Vice President of Legal Affairs with Americans United for Life. She's also a 14-year veteran of the United States military. She's recently written an opinion piece in the Washington Times pointing out why it would be a bad idea to lift the ban on abortions in military medical facilities, as has been suggested by some, including Illinois Democratic Senator Roland Burris. It's the latest possible addition to this major military spending bill that already includes an effort to repeal the Don't Ask, Don't Tell ban on gays in the military, as well as the inclusion of the DREAM Act, which would provide scholarships for illegal immigrants in this country. And Denise, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
This is a policy that's bounced back and forth. The ban is currently in effect. A few years ago, it was repealed. And then before that, of course, it was in place. Explain why you believe it's so important for this ban to stay in place.
The majority of American taxpayers, 70% of people on both sides of the abortion issue, oppose the use of taxpayer funds to pay for elective abortions. And that is exactly what the Burris Amendment does. It allows U.S. government facilities, paid for at taxpayer expense, U.S. personnel, also paid for at taxpayer expense, to be used for elective abortions. The assertion that somehow a payment of an administrative fee by women seeking an abortion is somehow going to cover the true cost of the abortion is a fallacy. So we do not want to see taxpayer dollars used to fund elective abortions. That's why we need to oppose the Burris Amendment.
You touch on a number of things in this piece. First of all, you talk about how this is being couched by those on the pro-choice side as trying to make it safe, everything positive for the health of military service women. But you really see that as kind of a front for a larger agenda here. Explain what you mean by that.
Abortion advocates honestly care very little about military women and their health care. What this is the opening salvo in a war to ensure complete and full taxpayer funding of abortion, not only at military facilities, but at medical facilities in our own communities. Because from their standpoint, logically, if we're going to fund them at military facilities, why can't we also fund them at our local hospitals? So this is just establishing a beachhead, the first step into having fully funded, unrestricted abortion on demand across the country.
Denise, you said a moment ago that the other side obviously doesn't care about the health of American servicewomen. Why do you reach that conclusion?
Well, the simple fact of the matter is that abortion is not a panacea for women's health care. Abortion carries substantial risks to women, whether they're performed in military facilities or they're performed elsewhere. This is not about American servicewomen. This is about advancing the agenda of radical abortion extremists.
We're talking with Denise Burke. She's the Vice President of Legal Affairs at Americans United for Life. And Denise, you also spent a little bit of time in this piece for the Washington Times talking about what the situation was like during those years after the ban was temporarily lifted. What was the culture like in the military hospitals at that time? How did lifting the ban impact daily life in that way?
One of President Clinton's first acts as president in 1993 was to lift the ban on abortions in military facilities overseas. And I was actually a brand new lieutenant in the United States Air Force when that happened. Military providers overseas en masse, not just doctors, refused to participate in abortions. So hospital administration had to spend time and valuable resources trying to locate civilian providers to provide the service. And Clinton's lifting of the ban ended up being an abject failure, and after a couple of years, Congress reinstated the ban. And things went back to normal in military health care.
You also suggest in your piece, Denise, that the pro-choice community for sure and other liberal interest groups often like to use the U.S. military as their own kind of petri dish to begin their social experiments with the military first. What other examples do you have of that?
Right now we're seeing it also in the Defense Authorization Act with the potential repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. These two things coupled together show the willingness of many liberal activists to use our military for their own political ends. They can't help but remember the fact that in 1948, the United States military was the first major social organization in America to desegregate. And while that was a noble project and a noble task, this one is not.
Denise, what do you expect to happen here? Obviously, the Democrats have large majorities in the House and Senate. They've got a president who I assume would be inclined to sign something like this. So what are you expecting to happen here?
We are hopeful that the vast majority of Americans who oppose taxpayer funding of abortion will contact their senators and let them know their strong opposition, and that we can still defeat the Burris Amendment while still allowing our military services to be funded, which is what the primary purpose of the National Defense Authorization Act is, to fund our military services, not to make them a social experiment.
This debate over the military authorization bill, the defense authorization bill, getting fiercer by the day as different things get added to it. Denise, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Denise Burke, Vice President for Legal Affairs at Americans United for Life. She's a 14-year veteran of the United States Air Force. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.